What's up, everybody? Before we jump into this week's episode of Your Favorite Fight, I wanted to take a second to tell you about another podcast from one of my colleagues at Oregon Sports News, Casey Mabbitt. Casey's podcast is called Fireside Sports. It's a weekly podcast featuring commentary from Pacific Northwest journalists like Casey. He brings on some co-hosts, other guys from OSN like Garrett Thornton, Brian Knox. These guys, they get on the mic and they talk about any number of different things. Anything that's entertaining in sports or pop culture. They always jump into it. Casey generally has a pretty unique take on things. He might have a different spin on your favorite team, talk about what they're up to. You never know. They go pretty in depth about the Blazers and the NBA. These guys know a whole lot more about basketball than I do, enough to make my head spin a little bit. So, if you're a big NBA fan, I think it's a great podcast for you to check out. If you're a Pacific Northwest sports fan, it's another great one for you, because he'll definitely talk about the Mariners, just anything in the Northwest, like the Thorns or what's the other soccer team. I don't watch soccer. The Portland soccer team, they'll talk about that too, I'm sure. But soccer doesn't really resonate with me, but maybe it resonates with you. I'm sure it resonates with some of the people who listen to Fireside Sports. There's always a warm seat for you at Fireside Sports. It's the official home of the hot take. So, jump on to OSN right now. Check out a couple episodes. It's real informative, pretty funny, and a great podcast. So please check that out and get ready for this episode of Your Favorite Fight. It's a great one. Thank you guys for checking it out. And without further ado, episode 11 of Your Favorite Fight with me and my buddy Jake Smith. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Your Favorite Fight. I'm your host, David Golden. This week, doing something a little bit different. I'm going to sit down with my buddy Jake Smith. What's up, Jake?
Hey.
We're going to talk all things Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, McMayweather, if you will.
I like that. The McMayweather. That's a good
one. Yeah. Well,
that's original.
We want to talk about it a little bit because everybody's asking me what I think, and I mean, I think if you're asking me what I think, you probably don't watch a ton of boxing. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. I got some questions from a few people online. We'll dive in. So right up front, I just wanted to say thanks again, everyone, for downloading, for checking out the podcast. I really appreciate all the support. If you would, though, do me a favor. Just tell a couple people about the podcast. Just share this with a buddy or a family member or whatever, a teammate if you're a fighter. Just let people know what's up. I'd love to get a few more people listening. Give me that iTunes review if you really feel like helping out. You can do the iTunes written review. I know that's a real pain in the ass. It's very difficult.
Don't be lazy. Just do it.
While you're holding your phone in your hand, downloading the podcast, listening, you can also do the review from your phone that's in your hand while you're listening. I know that's a real mind fuck, but that can happen. So if you want to do that, that would be awesome. But if not, just tell a couple people. That would be great. I would love that. Let's say what's up to Jake and have him give some shout outs. What's going on, man?
Yeah, not a whole lot. I see that there's been a few flakes for your podcast, so I figured, I'm here to save the day.
He's like, stepping in.
Like, anytime I can get on the mic, I'm gonna take advantage of that. I don't know why all these fighters are being, little pussies about it and are afraid to talk, but I mean, I'll make more money and they will not. But go ahead and follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at ubersmitty, UberSmitty. And you can see all my clever quips and, get a few chuckles, hopefully.
Yeah, Jake's got a fun Twitter.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I talk shit sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. You may or may not be known for talking shit.
Which, I hope to do today. So let's get into
cool,
it.
Man.
I'm in a special mood today.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. It's always a good day when Jake's in a special mood.
Yeah, man. I got a new nickname when I went on a San Jose trip. It's Jake Motherfucker Smith. And there's a reason for that. I'm not the most pleasant people person, I guess, if that's a way to put it. And today is, I feel especially like a motherfucker. So
you feel like a real motherfucker.
Let's get into it.
We are earning the like.
Yeah.
The expletive on this podcast today.
Yeah.
All right.
I
was partial to the half black attack, but the motherfucker is pretty good.
I don't think it's going to work out for me marketing wise. I don't even know if half black attack's going to work for me. I might have to change that to like HBA or something.
Yeah, like, maybe.
But then, but like, I feel like it's close to like Huntington Beach, Bad Boy. Like,
yeah, and that's not great.
No one wants to be, you know.
No, no. You'd be like the son of Tito. Your head is not big enough, bro.
Son of Tito. Man, I was going to say something that I probably shouldn't say. I'm not going to say. But, I'm sure they're very happy being the son of Tito.
Sure. Shit, I would love to be the son of Tito.
They're rich. But anyways, so let's get into it. Let's do it, man.
All right, what do you got? Well, people are like anyone who's asked me what I think about the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight, I think that realistically, as a person who's watched a lot of boxing and a lot of MMA, my immediate response is kind of laughter in my head. Like, mm-hmm. Does Conor have a chance in this fight? Absolutely not.
No.
Like, I will say, he has a puncher's chance, right? Like, you have to give him, the chance on the power and the, you know, he has that because he does have the ability to hit people in the face.
Yeah.
Like he can do that. He's proven it over and over again. Mm-hmm. He's knocked out a bunch of people, you know, he can do that. But boxing and MMA and boxing for boxing are two completely different things.
100%.
Like it couldn't be more different, you know? Like your footwork is different.
Yeah.
You know, the way you put your feet is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And Conor McGregor has the stance of like a karate fighter in all of his fights when he comes out.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible idea in a boxing match, man. Like you can't do that.
Yeah, man. Here's the thing that everyone's like, oh, he has a puncher's chance. Okay, realistically, yes, I get that. Anyone can land a lucky punch and knock someone out, right? But here's the thing: you are fighting the pound for pound best boxer to ever do it.
He's the greatest of his generation. I mean, some would say the best pure boxer ever.
Yeah, pure boxer. Yes, and everyone's like, oh, what about the Four Horsemen, Hagler, Hearns, fucking Durant, whatever. Well. You know, I'm going to say Floyd's better than them. I think he'd find a way to beat all of those guys. Like,
skillfully.
Yeah. I think so. I think he outpoints them. But here's the thing. So everyone's like, oh, but Conor has so much power. He has this and that. For MMA, yes, okay. But you also got to take in consideration, when he's hitting people, how many people is he really knocking out cold? Like, flat out cold. He had Jose Aldo, right? Dropped Jose. Jose was charging in. Okay.
Yeah,
dropped him. True. But, you know, he also had to follow it up with punches. Okay, who else was it? Who's the black guy?
Marcus Brimage.
Marcus Brimage had to follow that up. So he doesn't have like this one punch, just like, oh, you're unconscious, you're out cold.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz was eating his shots, and Nate Diaz boxing is nowhere near Floyd's, right? So, and you also have to take in consideration when a punch comes at Floyd, he's rolling with the punches. He's not going to charge in. You're not going to just flat out clip him. We've only seen Floyd maybe hurt once, I think, which was with Shane Mosley.
Shane Mosley caught him.
Which even then, like, okay, yeah, he did a little chicken leg dance, but then the rest of the fight, Shane couldn't touch him.
Yeah, and by the end of that fight, Shane looked like he looked pretty gassed.
Oh,
yeah. He looks perplexed, and I think that's a common thing. You know, you have a guy like Canelo Alvarez,
mm-hmm.
who by all accounts is at this point potentially the number two boxer in the world, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, and he could do nothing against Mayweather. Like, so I don't watch as many new boxing matches today. When I was younger, I watched a lot of boxing. You know, it was more accessible to me. My parents liked boxing,
mm-hmm.
so I watched it a lot. You know, like I was a big Chris Bird fan. I was a big Pernell Whitaker fan.
Yeah,
you know, that was a huge time in boxing. It was really still pretty massive. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so today I don't watch as much boxing, but I did watch the Canelo Alvarez Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
I just went over to a buddy's house and watched it. And it's like
like Canelo had nothing for him, and now people are talking about this Triple G and Canelo fight like it's like this amazing like pinnacle of the sport kind of fight. Like your biggest money making fight outside of a Floyd Mayweather fight are two guys who don't stand a chance against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
And they are like at the top of their game, and either one of those guys is going to beat Conor McGregor in a boxing match.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of absurd.
Well, here's what drives me nuts is like, so like we're going over the whole like puncher's chance.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So Canelo is known for being a hard puncher.
For sure.
Couldn't hit him. Pacquiao, known for beating the shit out of guys. Couldn't touch him. So you're telling me these two guys who have dedicated their whole entire life to this art, to this dedication, to this specific, you know, style of fighting, where Conor has to worry about, he's been worrying about jiu-jitsu, wrestling, kickboxing, karate, whatever, the, you know, touch butt in the park. And you think he's just going to come in, do an 8-week camp of pure boxing and just be like, oh, I beat the pound for pound best who's, you know, who's been doing this for what, 40 years? Well, no,
he's 40.
He's 40, but you know what I'm saying. For the technically, it's 40 years because he came out of his dad's nuts, and his dad was a fantastic boxer. So I'm counting that. I'm counting that as years being passed down genetically for 40 years. That's why he's so good.
He boxed his way into the womb. Is that what you're telling me?
He beat the shit out of his mom's eggs, and he developed. He had to race. He wasn't racing all the other sperm. He was fighting them. He was straight up sparring them in there and knocking them out. There was
demolishing them.
Only one sperm came out of his dad, and it was him. The only one, because they all got knocked out. that's my theory on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that brings up an interesting point. Floyd Mayweather's 40 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely not peaking athletically.
No.
And Conor McGregor is. Conor McGregor's 28. He's like, he's in the middle of his absolute peak prime time of his life, you know? And so, you know, I mean, that there's got to be something to that. And I think that I hear a lot of chatter from the Mayweather camp about, you know, other things. And not that he isn't taking the fight seriously. I'm sure he is. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't pay attention, I mean, it could be bad for him, you know? I'm not saying that Conor McGregor, like if I'm putting all my money on, if I had to bet my life savings on something, obviously it's on Floyd Mayweather in this fight. But... Yeah. But like, you know, if you don't take someone seriously, you don't take someone seriously, and that you can pay for that in spades. You know, look at what happened to Mike Tyson when he fought Buster Douglas. You know, if he takes that fight as seriously,
which though he technically won, should have won.
How's that?
He dropped Douglas, and then the controversial count.
Well,
it was over 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was over 10 seconds. I forgot all about
so that. So it shouldn't have kept on going.
Yeah. Yeah,
and let's say, you know, after that, okay, the guy gets back up. You know, Mike Tyson's going to go out there, try to
gas out a little bit. That's a good point. I forget all about that.
But, you know, then again, Tyson was just banging a bunch of Japanese hookers at the time. And I think he got something.
But still, he...
But I see your point, yes.
He gets caught in that fight.
Yes.
Maybe he takes things a little more seriously, and he doesn't. You know, I don't know, but, you know, I got a... Somebody asked me online... Lorenzo Mora asked me online, a buddy of mine. He said, hey, well, if Conor hits him with his left, is it lights out? Of course not. And then he's also wondering if the fight's going to go the distance.
I say yes.
I say the fight goes as long as Floyd Mayweather wants it to go. Like, I think if he wants to finish the fight, he'll finish the fight.
I feel like Floyd is... So here's my take on this, okay? So you said that you heard a lot of, like, there's a lot of chatter from Floyd's camp. I think that's on purpose. I think everything he does is calculated. It's all for money, and they're trying to sell the fight. So now, you know, if there's any, like, rumors of, like, oh, Floyd's not taking this seriously. Oh, this guy might come in now and clip him. Because, you know, I heard something about one of his, I don't know if it was one of his trainers or just someone that's part of his entourage was talking about how they're worried about, you know, the way that Conor comes in is going to be a little bit different. He's never seen anything like that. Yeah, okay, first 3 minutes, then he's going to have him figured out. Let's be honest. Connor's best chance are the first 3 minutes. And the reason why, I think this is because after 3 minutes, I feel like Floyd will get his pattern down. He will get his movements down. And from there, it's just going to be a matter of him, you know, I'm going to be, he's going to fucking taunt him. he's gonna taunt him like he didn't. Fuck, what's that guy's name? He was taunting the dude while and talking to the girl, the guy's girlfriend, while he was beating him up, sticking his tongue out. I can't remember his name. It was I think it was his last fight. Some black guy.
I don't remember.
I'm seeing a stupid head in my head too. I can't. But anyways,
you'll remember later.
So my point is, he has 3 minutes to get in there and knock him dead or whatever. But again, bigger gloves means better defense for Floyd, because it's not going to just slip through like an MMA glove. So it's he can block a little bit better.
Yeah.
And
you know, throw with it. When you throw with a boxing glove on, it's way different than when you throw with a 4 ounce glove.
Yeah.
Because like, so like, you'll notice that like those shots that would rock a person in an MMA fight, like especially those shots behind the ear.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to catch as clean in that spot, right? Mm-hmm. Like it can slip off more easily.
Yeah.
And you have to be so much more precise, because mm-hmm. you can clip someone with the edge of your fist in an MMA fight, and that shit can hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But if you hit someone with the edge of your glove, like maybe you're going to scrape them,
yeah,
you know, but it's not going to hurt them.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's just,
you know, and like Conor McGregor's fight against Dustin Poirier, like he caught him and got and knocked him down. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, like leading up to that knockdown, he was actually working a pretty decent fight, even though I think Dustin was probably one of the more successful people on the feet against Conor early on in that, like there was an adjustment period there, but he hit him like kind of behind the ear and like the top of the head. It was more of like, it wasn't like this solid, like boom, crack you on the chin, you're going to go down. It wasn't like an Anderson Silva knockout, you know?
Yeah. Wasn't just precision.
And that shot is not going to knock Floyd Mayweather down. It's not going to hit him with those gloves. Yeah. It's not going to hit him. It's going to miss. But the thing that I wonder is, okay, so everybody talks about this, about, well, what if Conor like instinctively throws a kick or something? Okay. First of all, no, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. He knows he can't throw kicks.
Yeah.
He knows he can't take him down, but there's nothing that says he can't use feints with his hips. There's nothing that says he can't act like he's going to take him down. There's no rule against that. You can move your hips. You could turn your hips like you're going to throw a kick and not throw a kick. And like, as much as Floyd Mayweather says that's not going to be an issue, like if in the back of his mind he's worried that when this fight starts going bad for Conor, Conor's going to kick him, like if he honestly thinks that in his head, like, man, that's, I honestly think that could really play a factor.
Oh,
like,
man, I think that's a stretch.
Maybe it's a stretch, but like, could you imagine if you're a boxer, you've never fought a kickboxing match in your entire life, and you see this guy in there and you're watching him, and all of a sudden you're seeing his hips like move like he's going to throw a kick, like you might be like a little weirded out, like, is this dude going to kick me? Like, what's really happening right
here's
now?
Here's the thing with that is, for one, again, it's you know, he's moving his hips. I don't think right away that's going to, you know,
you don't think
register.
Floyd will even realize what it is?
I don't think so. I don't think like, it's going to register. I don't think he's going to be like, oh, he's trying to set up a kick. Because I don't think he's used to that movement. He doesn't know. Also, secondly, I heard that it's in the contract that if anything like that happens, like
Conor's purse goes to him or something.
There's a purse thing, and also like something about like a lawsuit and maybe possibly jail time or some kind of like pressing charges.
Jail time.
Well, I'm not saying like the contract says, oh, you're going to jail for 30 days if you kick.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying like there's something in there where it becomes it turns into like assault, I think, because I guess. It's not, because it's outside of the, I don't know.
So if Mike Tyson bites off your ear, like, eh, you know.
It wasn't the thing. So like, I mean, I don't know.
Back when boxing was boxing.
Yeah, like, man, I don't know, man. This is just what I heard, all right? This is hearsay. But like, I heard there is like, there's some kind of weird clause in there where Conor cannot do anything MMA.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, there has to be, right? But there's nothing that says he can't faint a little
hip
movement. Hey,
man, you know, fucking faint away and then watch your jaw get fucking smashed. Oh, yeah. you're gonna move your hips?
Well,
that's cute. Check this out. Keck.
Yeah, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Floyd Mayweather isn't smashing people's jaws like.
Hey, man, Victor Cruz.
Yeah, he's
Victor Ortiz. Victor Cruz, that's a football player.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Ortiz, no, I get it. I know.
But
you know
what I mean? Like, that's not necessarily his thing.
If you got your hip movement theory, I have my theory that he's going to crush his jaw, okay?
All right. Fair enough.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm calling second round knockout Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Let's get crazy with it.
Second round knockout. I think Floyd
bullshit.
genuinely wants to go 12 with him. I think Floyd wants to get in there, go a full 12 and be like dominating in the 12th round. Like, yeah, he's gonna carry him for like 2, 3, 4 rounds. Mm-hmm. He's gonna maybe let Connor like land a little punch here, a little punch there. Cause I don't think he, like, there are a lot of people that are saying like he won't land a punch on him.
Oh, and that's ridiculous.
You know what? I thought it was ridiculous until the video, those two videos this week that dropped. Did you see these videos?
Yeah.
The two training videos.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen them, you go to like MMA Junkie. They have them posted. You'll find a side by side version of them all over Twitter and Instagram and shit. It's them each hitting a bag. Well, I mean, they're hitting two different types of bags. Mm-hmm. However, Connor is like if you're looking at their movement and their speed.
Yeah.
It's literally like you're watching one video at half speed and one video in fast forward.
Yeah.
Like it looks completely different. And like after watching that, I was like, God damn. Like, and listening to a couple MMA fighters who were boxers talk about it, and they're just like, yeah, they're genuinely saying like, I don't see how he lands a meaningful punch, is what a few of them said. And I agree,
that's
more accurate, right?
Meaningful.
Because he'll touch him.
He'll definitely touch him. I mean, I think there's only been maybe one person in boxing history who's gone a whole round without being hit.
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it Roy Jones? Or was it Whitaker? Maybe it was
Whitaker.
I think it might have been Whitaker.
I don't know. I'm not as much of a boxing historian as I should be, I guess.
Well, I mean, basically what I'm saying is it's very unlikely for that to happen. Unless, you know, he gets clipped and knocked out or something. But, like, to go a full round without actually getting hit, that's preposterous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, man. I think it'll go 12 rounds, and I think the reason why it'll go 12 rounds, I have a feeling that Floyd kind of wants to bring Connor up in a sense instead of down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, legitimize the match a little bit.
Yeah, like, you know, Floyd's going to win his money or whatever, get his money, get his payday. But in the end, I think at the same time, he wants to raise Connor's stock and not diminish it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he doesn't want to look bad in the end.
Yeah, he doesn't want to make Connor look bad. And the reason this just came to me, okay?
All right.
So I think secretly, after this goes down, they're going to work together and co-promote MMA fights. That's what I think the next step is for Connor after this. Because, you know, he's never going to have to fight again. He's making, what, 121 mil?
Probably.
Or no, he's making 21 mil. I think.
No. He's making, his guarantee is like, his guarantee, I think, was like 75 million.
Okay, plus pay-per-view percentage.
Plus pay-per-view.
Okay.
And if you think this isn't going to be the highest earning boxing pay-per-view ever,
yeah,
like, you're crazy. Like, this is already, I mean, the projections are high.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying 5 million buys. I mean, it's going to be right up there with the top ever. Like, and you know, it's going to be up there with
Pacquiao.
Yeah, it's right up there with the Pacquiao one. And I heard that they're going to make it cheaper than the Pacquiao fight because they had
problems. I heard it was going to be $100.
Yeah. But wasn't that one $100?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I read a thing on it.
I've heard rumors from 70 to from 70 to $200.
Ah, fuck.
I thought it was going to be $199. When I first heard it, I was like, if it ever happens, it's going to be $200 and people are going to pay for it.
I was thinking 80.
But, you know, I mean, if it's $75, like, and you get four people over and chip in and have a night, cool, you know? Like, I mean,
I would love to see Nate Diaz on the undercard boxing. Who was it?
Anybody?
Well, no, there was someone who called him out. Krabby was one of Floyd's boys. He got beat up by Madonna after he humped him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Brain fart day.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that won on that card. I mean, Stipe Miocic says he wants on that card.
Yeah, he wants to fight Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, plenty of MMA guys won on that card. Well, Stipe's got an amateur boxing background, you know?
Amateur, man.
Yeah, I know, but at least he has a little bit of a boxing background.
Yeah, well,
and you know what, man? When you're the UFC heavyweight champion, like,
yeah,
there's something in your psyche that says I'm the baddest man on the planet.
Yeah,
you know, because like, who's the baddest heavyweight boxer on the planet right now? Like, who the fuck cares? Like, There's no one. There's no Lennox Lewis. There's no Mike Tyson. You know, there's no Riddick Bowe. There's none of those guys. Those guys don't exist anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't. You know, and so like who cares who the best heavyweight is right now? Nobody even thinks about that. Yeah. So if Stipe feels like he's the baddest man on the planet, like all right, put him in there, man. I mean, even if he loses the fight, it's not like he's calling out, like, you know, I don't know, man. Like if he wants the fight in there, let him have it. I mean, they should.
They might
the
as well
awesome.
Throw in a couple more UFC fighters in there,
dude. They totally
might
should.
As well. I
they
mean,
totally
if they're
should.
Gonna make this into a circus, they might as well just
try to get 10 million pay per view buys. You know what I mean? Put a bunch of UFC fighters on it. Make it all MMA versus all boxing. Go
I
for
mean,
it.
Will it? And would then, it kill? Would it hurt MMA? You think?
If they did the whole card that way, it would hurt.
Yeah, you don't think any MMA guy could pull it off, maybe?
I think some could. It just depends on the matchup, right?
Like, oh, it was Broner.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Broner called out Nate Diaz. I think that'd be... of course, Broner's going to fuck Nate up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like the I just like Nate, you know, and I feel like he should be getting paid.
I feel like Nate wouldn't turn the fight down either.
No,
he
fuck
turn
no.
Any,
you kidding me?
That, for that money, he's fighting. But
yeah, and then he'd get on the mic and talk some shit to Connor.
Yeah, probably.
And then, you know, there you go. We got the trilogy. Right there,
I guess.
You don't want to see that again?
Oh, of course I want to see.
Oh, okay.
But Conor
I thought you were
McGregor,
saying like, yeah.
Conor McGregor is going to walk away from this with $100 million in his hand, and he's going to call it a life if he wants to. Although
smart.
This week it came out that he told Dana White he wants to fight Khabib and
go to, in Russia.
Yeah, wow. like that's crazy. Like, you're not going to fight Nurmi in Russia, bro. That's a terrible fight for you. Don't fight him.
Yeah.
Like the. Why? You want to lose to Floyd Mayweather and then go lose to Nurmi? Are you kidding?
You don't think he has a chance of catching him, though?
Fuck no.
Only reason why I bring that up is because of the Michael Johnson. You know, because Michael Johnson tagged him a couple times.
Yeah, I guess Michael Johnson tagged him a couple times, but Michael Johnson is way better wrestler than Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he has better takedown defense than Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess.
Like, just going to guess.
I'll throw that out there as a hunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I haven't, like, studied both all their fights simultaneously to see, but, like, you know, Conor McGregor is going to go in there. Man, if Chad Mendes Mendes on, like, a 2 weeks notice or a week's notice goes in and takes you down.
Do you know what? Yeah, people like to forget this. That little fact about Mendes and McGregor. I'm like, if he was in a full-on camp, McGregor loses that fight.
Well, I used to think that.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think five rounds of Mendes in shape, taking him down like that.
I want to believe that.
You're going to say the front kicks.
Dude, I...
No.
Let me tell you. I have watched that fight.
No.
I have watched that fight probably 20 times. All right? Like 20 times probably. And I, because I was like you, was so pissed off about that fight and did not believe it. But go watch that fight, and I think it's like a minute 20 into round two. A front kick lands, and Mendez's color in his face disappears, and he looks completely different. His face looks completely different.
And you don't think that has anything to do with him not being in camp or training? You got to take that into consideration. He had to do a big weight cut for one.
Yeah,
on short notice.
Yeah.
When you're in camp, your body toughens up in a different way than when you're not. Like right now, if I get hit in the body right now, because I'm not in camp, it's going to fucking suck. But if I'm in a full-on camp and I'm used to getting hit and this and that, you know, I got my abs or whatever doing my exercises, it's not going to be the same.
It's not going
to
be
the
same.
And also, he has more time to prepare for Connor.
But we're talking about guys in a camp that is known for being like a we're always in shape kind of camp.
But do you understand? Do you know what Mendes is known for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I understand. Okay. I mean, and I get it. I do. Like, because realistically, yes, it makes a difference. I believe that it makes a difference. However, like the precision in which he threw the kicks.
Yeah.
Was pretty skillful and pretty amazing considering the round prior.
Mm-hmm.
It was lights out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His wrestling was lights out. So it's like, but for me to believe that a guy who's wrestled his entire life, a guy who's in a camp, like who's helping people train for camps a lot, like, you know, he's in pretty good shape, even if he's not training. I just can't believe that he gassed out in one round.
Man,
do you know what I mean?
But
like,
here's the thing, though, is Mendes takes time off. He doesn't. He's not a guy that's in the gym all the time. That's the thing. Is that people say like, oh, but you're kind of like, it's not the same, man.
I know it's not the same.
It's not the same.
But like, do you feel like, if you're Chad Mendes, you gas out after one round?
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm off on a hunting trip or some shit, and then I just get a random call, like, hey,
I guess I don't know what he was doing.
That's what he does.
I know it's a different fight. I know it's a different fight.
Like, it's 100% a different fight.
For sure it's a different fight. But like that fight does show one side of Conor that's so smart. You know, mm-hmm. it shows that he understands how to exploit a weakness in a person, which I can appreciate.
The reason why he went there as the weakness is because he knew Mendes is not in shape.
Yeah.
You're going to take his wind if you work the body, right?
Yeah, for sure that has something to do with it. And that's a tool that he uses in a lot of fights. Like he throws that kick a lot. He threw it against Poirier. He throws it a lot. You know, I mean, it's one of his things. Mm-hmm. It's like his John Jones oblique kick. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that's the one that he uses.
But how many people has he hurt with that?
A bunch.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he's taken out a lot of people with that?
He hasn't taken him out, but it's affected the fight. It affected Poirier in the fight. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just watched the fight yesterday.
I would have to rewatch that one.
And I was a little surprised because I remember.
I always looked at his kicks as decoys.
Man, I think that watching a fight when it happens mm-hmm. is like one thing, and then going back and watching it with a fresh set of eyes is different, because you no longer have that anxiety of watching a fight happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's like a, you're watching a fight
and you already know the results, so now you can kind of break it down a little bit more.
So you look at it a little bit differently. You don't listen to the commentary as much. You kind of you kind of just sort of watching it. You might notice counters that you didn't notice, at least for me. And so watching over a bunch of these fights, like going back and watching the Diego Brandão fight, going back and watching the Marcus Brimage fight, the Dustin Poirier fight, like watching these fights, he certainly lands with force way more than I thought he did.
With his kicks?
With his kicks and his punches. Like
punches,
his counters
are phenomenal.
That look like they're not necessarily that hard. Dude, they sting people. Like,
oh, No, definitely. No. I'm not taking anything away from Conor. Like, the way he, you know, like, one of my favorite fucking clips I've ever seen of him, it's before he got signed in the UFC, this guy throws I believe it was a straight right, and he just slips out a little bit out of the way and just fires back with the left hand. Boom, cracks him right on the chin. The guy's out.
Yeah.
But, like, every time I've always watched Conor, I'm like, his kicks, like, when he does land kick, like when he was kicking Nate, it's a lot of foot slapping.
With Nate, I think it was more.
It's a lot of, well, that was just an example, but like, I feel like he uses his kicks as a decoy to set up his boxing. I think that is primarily his best game. What I mean by that is he does a lot of those spinny kicks and those flashy kicks. They don't really land.
Yeah.
They never land, but it gets people thinking.
He always uses that cartwheel as a decoy.
Yes, exactly. He's always throwing it. He's always, you know, throwing the spinny stuff. I've never noticed it really land, right? But it gets them thinking. So now they're thinking about it, and they're watching his legs. Then he does that little fucking stupid uppercut he does, and he starts tagging people because he's long and lanky, and he's fast. He's fast for, you know, his size. And, I don't know. I think we kind of got... Did we get off track a little bit?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, now we're talking about
MMA. I don't think we're ever on, like, a specific track. But that's all a part of it, right? So we look at all these things that Conor does in MMA fights, and I'm wondering how they're going to transition in this boxing. Like, so his stance, like I said early on, he has like a real karate stance. Like he has his legs out and his hips are up high, and goddamn, is his head. Nobody keeps their chin as high as Conor McGregor. Yeah. I've never seen anybody do it. It's insane. Like, you're known for being like a striking guy, and you keep your chin so goddamn high.
Yeah.
It's crazy how high it's right out there for the world to see. And you know, but because he has that like Lyoto Machida like kind of standing back, it doesn't really matter to him. But he's always got his chin up. It's like it's weird to me. Like I'm watching it, rewatching fights, and thinking like, man, how do more people not punch this guy in the face?
That's
a huge problem for him. If he goes into a boxing match and he doesn't stand like he's boxing, I think that's going to be...
That's a good point, man. Be an issue. I didn't consider that. I really didn't.
And you mentioned his uppercut. So in that video that just came out of him training, he's throwing that uppercut.
Yeah.
And he's throwing it a lot in that video. He throws it maybe four times.
Yeah.
And granted, it's a hard punch, but it's like one of his favorite punches. And I've never seen a punch telegraphed more in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a striker, man. Like, yeah. I don't fight people. That's not what I do. And I can see that shit. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, if I, like,
yeah.
like, how do you not see it coming? It's like a literal wind up and he throws this uppercut. If he literally winds up when he's going to punch Floyd Mayweather, he's going to get laid out.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good plan.
He throws the right uppercut with a left hook, or vice versa. Sorry. Left uppercut, right hook. That's what he got brandaged with. I mean, I think what's so deceiving about it, too, is, like, if you watch it, because he kind of feints it a couple times before he actually threw it mm-hmm. against brandage. I think his length surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, you totally. I mean? He doesn't look as, like, he doesn't look lanky like...
yeah, so when he does that, it extends out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah. he catches him. But, yeah, that's not going to work against Floyd, for one. It's he's going to be in and out. He's going to pop shot him. Catch him with a jab, moving.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I think it'll go 12 rounds. I don't think it'll be competitive at all. I'll be surprised if Conor wins 2 rounds. And the reason why he wins 2 rounds is because Floyd takes a round off. A couple
maybe.
Rounds off.
You yeah, know what I mean? Take a round or two off. Yeah, maybe.
Which is, you know.
Or does Floyd spend, like, round 1 and 2 just letting Conor, like, get comfortable out there? You know what I mean? That would be kind of so? Slick. Well, you know, because he knows he can move and get away from his punches. Does he throw very limiting punches in like rounds 1 and 2?
Just kind of figuring him out a little bit.
Yeah, just kind of let Conor get comfortable, let him get in there, and then just turn it on in round 3 and just beat the brakes off of him.
I can see that happening. Yeah.
You know, like that would be crazy. That would be so fun to me. I would, man. I would love that. I would just love that. We had a question that we got online from one Nick Cooning.
Okay.
He wants to know, he wants me to ask you about your thunder thighs.
About my thunder? Okay. I got big legs. I all right, man. Like, you know,
I replied, you know, like, do you even really have to ask? Because it's kind of all you ever talk about.
It's like my legs are giant, man. It's like, you know, I am the half black attack. I have a black booty. Like, I get it from my mama. Like, that is legitimate what it is. I am born with these big-ass legs. I don't know why. I guess, obviously, genetics. But, like, it's just, that's, you know, that's, I don't know, man. You know?
I thought we'd just throw that in.
I was going to buy his thunder thighs. Ah, man, you know, sometimes they make some lightning there, Nick. You know? There's some lightning down there. It's not just thunder.
Not just thunder at all.
That's a weird one. Yeah. That's all right. That's neat.
Well, you know.
What else we got?
You know, I think really what people want to know is, like, can, you know, Jordan Gunther asked, he was like, you know, can we really just, like, stop talking about this, like, bagel versus donut debate, right? I get it. Like, I understand, especially for a guy like Jordan who has a boxing background and he's, you know, he's helped training people box. Like,
yeah.
I get it. For boxers, this is like just insane.
It's asinine,
right?
Dude.
Yeah. And it's crazy. So I get it. But I think for MMA fans, really, this is more exciting, right? Just because it's
something different. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people going, oh, man, I hope he gets him. I hope he clips Floyd, because everyone hates Floyd. And, you know... let them hope and wish, and you know, it's not gonna happen. It's just, I just don't see it in a universe where I can't fathom it. You know, maybe these words will bite me in the ass. I don't know.
I think it would be really awesome if it did happen. It would be incredible for like the sporting world, right?
Yeah.
Like it would be crazy, and it would be lightning in a bottle for Conor McGregor, which has been what it is for him.
Yeah,
like his career, you know, in MMA, he's really been able to catch this, you know, catch this thing that's been happening.
Yeah.
and just run with it. It's yep. really worked for him. And I think in some instances, like, he's gotten lucky, and in others, like, he, you know, he's just been very skillful. Like, to say he's the greatest of all time, I think is crazy, right? Like,
oh, that's ridiculous.
You know, but like, he's put himself in position to at least be part of the argument because of what he's done. So like because it was like really exciting and because it's like really like the timing of it is all really crazy.
Yeah.
Like people forget that he, you know, about the loss to Nate Diaz because of the way he's dominated in other instances.
And if they do remember it, they'll go, "Whoa, was that 170? Nate Diaz is huge. It's 170." Yeah. It's like, oh really? What about his fucking other 25 fights at like 155? No one cares about that.
Yeah. And he's not that much bigger than Conor.
No. The fuck, man. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
And I personally think Nate won the second fight too. I had him winning two fights.
You know what? I had him winning the second fight the first time I watched it, and then I went back and watched it, and my thought is like, if I'm scoring round by round, I have a really good argument
for a 10-8
for Nate, right? Oh, okay. But if I'm looking at the accumulated fight, like if I'm looking at the whole fight, like Conor definitely outlands him and lands really like the more meaningful shots throughout the fight. Mm-hmm. Like if you add up the total of it, but that's not really how you score a fight.
No, it's
right?
round
so
by
you
round.
Have to do it round by round, and I think that's really hard for judges to.
Well,
you know,
don't they have to put down their score immediately after the round?
They do, but when they're scoring the second round,
uh-huh.
are they taking into account the round that they scored before?
That's
so the idea is they're not right. Mm-hmm. The idea is they're not, but. But somehow, how do you wipe your brain of that?
I can't. That's,
you know, you
I don't
can't.
Think about that. Yeah.
So I sat next to a judge recently, and I was talking to him about scoring, and he was saying, you know, he thinks that 75% of fight fans can score a round properly. You know, they score a fight right, and then like the real hardcore fans, like 90% of them can get the round right. But what the judge is there for is for that 10% window. Where those fans can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And like that's his view is if it's so close that you know that the top of the chart for people who are into fighting can't figure it out, like I have to be smart enough to make the decision, you know? And so those judges have to think about that. And if there's this like split hair thing where they're like, man, who won the round? I don't know. And in the back of their mind, they're remembering the end of the round where, oh, but he took him down right before this round. Shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it's different, right? So scoring's different. And so I'd have to go back and honestly watch the Nate Conor 2 fight, like probably 3 times. Over a day, and I'll do that thing, that nerdy thing where you do it without commentary. You turn off the audio.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds so dumb, but it makes such a difference.
Oh yeah, like, when you got other people like inputting and stuff.
You just hear it, and like you're like the funny thing for me is I'll watch a fight, and if it's a fighter I like, I'm focusing on that fighter, mm-hmm. and then I'll see them throw a punch, and then I'll hear the commentator say, "Oh, what a great counter from the other fighter," and you're like,
yeah.
"What?"
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Yeah. You know?
No, I get that too. I am a little bit biased, so I mean, I still think Nate won, from what I remember. I mean,
yeah,
I'd probably have to go back and watch it too. But I just feel like Nate's not getting his due is all, and like they took away his win over Conor, and you know, with the whole 170 gimmick, and you know, I just don't think that's fair. I feel like people need to recognize that he is a 55er. Yes, they fought at 170.
Yeah, but he needs to recognize he's a 55er because he's the one who doesn't like fighting at 55.
Who, Nate?
Nate. He bitches about making 55 all the time.
Yeah, everyone bitches about cutting weight.
Yeah,
you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like you're saying, they need to recognize that he's a 55er, but so does he.
Do they? I don't know if you remember this, but there was a time where Nate was talking about dropping to 45.
Yeah, I remember that.
And no one brings that up. And everyone's talking about, oh, he's so big. He said he can make 145. What does that say? He's not that big. He's not that big.
I just think he's not built like a built like a brick shit house. You know,
no.
like
he's lanky.
Tired old term. Yeah. He doesn't have like a big barrel chest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have like a. He's not built in such a way that he's so like incredibly muscled, so he can make the weight like a guy like. Cole Miller, you know, cut a lot of weight and made it low, but he's just one of these skinny, lanky dudes, you know?
Yeah.
There's always going to be that guy. Or,
but when you listen to, like, analysts who aren't MMA analysts, they make it seem like, oh, but he was, you know, Conor went up to 170. And so, like, when people say, oh, the pound-for-pound best because he fought 45, 55, and 70, okay, I get what you're saying, but if we're going by that kind of logic, could you say Kenny Florian?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Conor was successful at all the weights.
But he wasn't. at the same time.
Yeah, in the one fight at 170, right? Like,
he lost that one.
You know,
came back. Yes, dead a rematch, whatever. Again, still a 55er. So that I feel like that should eliminate that. It should be 155-45. He's fought at.
Yeah.
And who else has he fought at 55?
Nobody yet.
Yeah. Immediately he gets a title shot. So it's like, oh, now you're. It's what I'm saying is it's mainly Dana White and the media machine that the UFC produces that makes him considerable for pound for pound.
Yeah.
But he hasn't defended his belt at either weight class, which is fucking preposterous to me.
Yeah, well, I said early on that he's holding these weight classes captive, you know, like, and it should be totally wrong. And I have people say, oh, no, you know, so-and-so only defended the, and it's like, dude, like, let's be real here, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's not there to fight for the UFC. Like, that's not even his, that's not even what he's about. Like, he doesn't care about the promotion. He doesn't care necessarily about the title. He cares about the title as it relates to him getting paid.
Yep.
And like, if the UFC said, hey, come in, you don't need the belt anymore, we're just going to have you fight whatever fight you want against whatever fighter you want to fight.
Yeah.
Like, fine. The reason the belt makes sense is because people pay to watch champions fight.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it is, right? Like that's all it's there for. So if he comes back and he fights in the UFC, like, is he really going to be able to fight you know, Khabib? Is that really going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Or does he actually have to fight Max Holloway? You know, and Max Holloway, Conor McGregor too is a different fight, you know?
Yep.
And although I'm sure Conor isn't worried about that fight,
I would like to watch that one.
I would like to see it again, even though in Max's, you know, fight against Aldo, he got caught quite a few times early.
Yeah,
he did. And you get caught against McGregor like that, it might be game over. It's a
different story, yeah.
You know, but he went the distance with McGregor before, and, you know, granted, McGregor was injured, you know, whatever, but...
Yeah, he blew out his, was it MCL? ACL?
Yeah, one of his, part of his knee, you know.
One of the CLs?
Yeah, gotta be, right?
Yeah.
What else could it be?
Ah, yeah.
You know, his kneecap was hurting, I don't know, something, but he you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that again for him, but like, but we have to think about the now, right? And right now, he's got Floyd Mayweather, and so...
I didn't think that was going to happen, honestly.
Yeah, I never thought it would happen, you know, but I mean, it's all about the dollar for him, and he's nobody promotes better than him, man. I mean, you know, he got on stage with Floyd Mayweather and was like, let's do this, let's fight. You know what I mean? He literally followed him places. Like, are you kidding? You showed up to places where this guy is.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a video of him getting on a stage, like, talking shit to him. They, like, brought Conor up on stage. And it's like...
I heard that. I thought that was an impersonator.
Was it an impersonator? It looked like Conor McGregor to me, man.
I need to watch the video, because I saw one where they had
was it an impersonator? Was
Floyd was sitting down, he was doing an interview. Yeah, there was an impersonator.
Well, even if it's an impersonator,
even
if it was sent by Conor or whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it helped, you know, fuel the fire, you know what I mean? And, everybody saw the writing on the wall. I mean, as soon as the deal could get done.
Money speaks, man.
Dude, all day long.
That's all it's about.
All day long. And
belts
why,
don't matter, record, it's money.
You know what's surprising to me is that, you know, now they're letting McGregor out of his Reebok deal for this fight.
Yeah,
that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because he has a separate deal with them outside of the UFC, right?
Oh, wait, what?
You know, like, so Reebok.
Yeah, I don't know anything
Reebok
about this.
Signs,
okay.
Reebok signs like certain fighters, right? So, like, yes, everybody's sponsored by. They got to wear Reebok.
And then they
in
get
the cage.
It. Yeah,
but okay. like one of your teammates. Paige VanZant, she's got a deal with Reebok,
so she gets paid more.
Gets paid more, and she's in Reebok commercials, and you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, she's getting all this money, like, and from Reebok or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what her deal is. I don't want to say all this money. She's certainly getting a lot of gear, because if you follow her on her social media, nobody rocks hotter Reeboks than Champy. You know, she's out there doing it, and so. Conor McGregor's got one of those deals too, man. Like, they make Conor McGregor's shoe for him. Like, you know, they do all this shit for him. And now he's just, like, freed up to be sponsored by whoever he wants. That's so weird to me. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I guess it's just because it's technically not a UFC.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's it. But, like, goddamn, man, doesn't this guy get enough?
Yeah, he gets a lot of leeway.
Or does he still have to wear Reebok and he gets to have other sponsors in addition to? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Reebok's going to get in on that deal.
They got to,
you know what I mean? He's probably going to wear some, like, Reebok fucking boxing shoes, you know?
It's got to be something. But like, man, like, you just change the rules for him.
Yeah.
everything you've ever said, as or Dana White has ever said, is just like gone by the wayside. You know,
fuck, man, more power to him, man. I mean,
more power to him and less power to Dana White. Trying with yeah, that, I'm not take trying a little to power away from
you know.
That guy.
I'm really trying hard not to hate the guy, you know, but it's so hard not to. But at the same time, you got to be impressed by
but
him.
But you got to respect it. You got to respect the hustle.
You got
right?
to, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
hustles like Conor McGregor.
No, man, it's crazy. He's you know, he created his empire himself, basically. You know,
yeah,
all through his mouth.
He hustled himself right in Forbes magazine, man. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, good for him.
He's loading up. He's making all that money.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, shit. I'd love to make 10% of that, you know?
Please. You kidding me? I mean, love that, too. I don't want to work a fucking day job anymore.
Yeah.
I'm over this shit, dude.
Well, I mean, I sat down and I talked. Like, it's crazy, like, I hear he's pretty obsessed about the fight even before this fight was signed.
Yeah.
Like, I heard he was like completely obsessed about it. And so I wonder if, like, in his mind, he genuinely believes he's going to win
this
fight.
I think he does.
That's the craziest part to me.
I think he does.
Like
I think he just has this determined willpower, and he just, I don't know, man. It's just
he's one of these
people,
like, legit believes in his vision board kind of guys.
I think so. 100%. Yes.
Yeah, that's gotta be, I mean, it's gotta have something to do with it. But like I was talking to Dan from Dethrone. I was sitting next to him at the fights one night, and he was like, yeah, man, I heard, you know, cause he, you know, obviously he's had some dealings with Conor.
Yeah.
And, he was saying that, he was talking to Kavanaugh, and Kavanaugh was like, bro, that's all he talks about. He doesn't talk about the UFC. He doesn't talk about anything. All he talks about is fighting Floyd. That's it. Like that's all he thinks about. And he said that his whole thing was he wasn't going to take a penny less than Floyd, which obviously that's bullshit.
Yeah, he is.
But, like, but dude, he worked himself out a pretty sweet deal, man. Yeah, I mean, he's going to walk with more money than any UFC fighters ever made. You know
ever.
What I mean?
Probably combined. That's ridiculous. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's a lot more than all of his combined payouts from the UFC.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably. Man, he makes a lot of money, though, man. Like, you know, he gets those points on the pay-per-views and his bonuses and shit. I mean, he even got Nate in those million-dollar figures, you know? He got Nate to $2 million payday. So, you know, back before it was, like, absurd to even think that someone would have a disclosed million-dollar payout. And to say that those guys didn't get more than that is probably wrong, right?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know what's not on the record and, you know, behind the books. Because, you know, you get taxed for everything, so... Yeah. I'm sure there was some, you know, a little bit of money slid underneath the table.
Yeah. How many cars do you think Dana White's given Conor McGregor?
Cars? Oh, yeah. Fuck. I don't know, man. I don't know.
How many times has Dana White carried Conor McGregor's purse for him?
His purse?
Once around, carries his man bag for him.
God, dude.
Dana White loves Conor McGregor and hates him at the same time. It's so crazy. But, like, man, I mean, how much money does Dana White stand to make off this deal? Because you know he gets a piece.
Oh, yeah. This fight wouldn't happen if they weren't going to. I bet you Dana White is acting as his like, representative or his manager or something, so where he gets, like, you know, 20%, 10%.
Well,
the question is,
right, so Dana White doesn't technically own the UFC anymore or isn't, like,
one of the owners,
one of the big owners, right? Or, I mean, I guess he still has a piece or something. I don't know, but... But, like, is he in there trying to make his case for the new ownership? Like, are they the ones getting the cut? And if they are, what percentage of that does he get? Because he's got to make a percent for himself. I mean, everybody's getting their pockets lined on this deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, what people are comparing Dana White to what's his name? The big old hair.
Don King,
yeah. People, you know, so.
Dana White, Don King, all day.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously he's getting paid or... That's the only way this fight happens.
Yeah.
Because he's not just letting it happen out of the goodness of his heart because he wants to help this kid.
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, obviously not. But, I mean, like, does he really give a shit, though? You know what I mean? Like, really? It seems like he's giving less and less of a shit as the time goes on. Like, he doesn't, like as the, you know, as everything unfolds, like, you hear another thing and you hear another thing and it's just Dana White's just like, whatever. You know, first it was like, this fight's never going to happen. And then it's like, well, it could happen if, and then it's like, you know, he's slowly.
Once that number starts getting bigger and he's just like, oh shit.
Yeah. And then those first, it's funny how he's trying to justify the fight. And he's talking to some someone online, or he's talking shit somewhere, you know, like he always does, and he's saying, oh, look at these numbers, because Connor doesn't open up as like a huge underdog in the initial numbers that hit Vegas, you know. It was like they weren't that bad.
Yeah,
like there were some boxers that opened up as bigger underdogs, and it's like, okay, first of all, like, what sport books are those from?
Yeah.
Second of all, can we wait like a month before some videos come out, some training
exactly
comes out? Like,
exactly,
like, can we wait a little while, you know, because I don't want that action. I want the, if I'm gonna put $100 on Connor to you know, to win the fight, I want it to be long odds. Give me that, give me that plus 1100 kind of shit, you know what I mean?
Like, in all, like, I could give a fuck less about the fight, to be honest. What I'm more interested in is the build up. I want the you know, the fight camps, the media. I want the trash talk. Like, that's what I'm excited about more than the fight itself. Like, I've seen enough fights, you know.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how does Floyd and Connor's, both their mental game, because they're both mental, you know, mental geniuses when it comes when it comes to the warfare of that, you know, the talk, and I just want to see how who's gonna win that battle. I think Connor's gonna have a little bit of an edge, but Floyd's so smooth, he's gonna be able to sidestep it somehow.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be a nice little
I can see that. I think Connor's style in terms of like talking shit and building a fight is so much more in your face than Floyd Mayweather's.
Yeah,
Floyd Mayweather's is like, was like, oh, did you hear that Floyd was at the club last night, and at 3 a.m, he decided he wanted to run all the way home. So he had to, like, have you heard this story? He's like,
yeah, I've seen that.
And he like runs down the strip with his car behind him, and he runs like 12 miles. And it's like that's the kind of stuff that comes out of Floyd's camp, where Connor's camp is like crazy outlandish, just like major shit talk. And it's just, it's just like through the roof.
There's a lot of shit talk on Floyd's too. Like when he's hitting the bag and he's talking, he's like, you see this? I'm too pretty. It's like, you know, I don't know. I'm excited. You know what? Floyd's dad too is a character.
Floyd's dad is a character.
Man, the whole thing, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. I think the buildup will be awesome. You know, I think it'll be neat to see, like, just the difference in the way they approach it. I mean, obviously Connor's taking it seriously. Like, the videos so far have been laughable on his side, and I kind of wonder, like, I a little bit wonder, is he releasing these videos that don't look that good on purpose so we think he's not as good, or does he really think these video, like, this, that video wasn't that bad, you know, the one that just came out?
Yeah,
because it was from like McGregorFast.com or something. Oh, you're McGregor Fast? Well, McGregor Fast is Floyd Mayweather slow, so don't, like it's not the same.
I don't know, man. It's just one of those things we're gonna have to sit back and watch. I mean, everyone's already talking about it. I mean, it's been beaten to death already. It's just,
yeah, totally. But I think it's going to continue.
It's a lot of speculation.
It's going to continue to be get beaten into the ground. And if my buddy Lance, if you're listening, I do give Connor a puncher's chance, bro. I do. But I'm a realist, and I can't help it. He's not going to beat Floyd Mayweather.
No,
he's just not. Like, I just can't help it. My
does
homie
Lance really believe that Connor's going to win?
Lance has been a Connor McGregor fan long before he was in the
UFC.
Where
does Lance live?
Lance lives down in the Bay, and he's he was Conor McGregor fan number one. Like he had been hyping me on McGregor.
Yeah, I think he told me about him before.
Forever. And this dude, like, when the fight got announced, he immediately booked his tickets to Vegas before the plane tickets went up. He's got a professional gambling buddy who's getting him tickets to the fight. You know, he's got it all.
I want to bet money with Lance.
Lance is going to put down some money, or he probably already has, or he will when he gets there.
I will bet you $500 your boy will not win this fight.
Don't say it out loud, because he'll tell me to call you and say he takes that.
Fucking
back.
I will give you my number right now. 360.
But he wants odds.
989.
No. Don't do it.
Hit me up on Twitter at UberSmitty, and we will make this official, because I need some money. But yeah, man, I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens, huh?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it'll be fun. Your boy Chael talked a little bit of smack at the fights.
That was beautiful. Yeah, that was great.
Was it beautiful?
It was to me. Yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah, you know, like I love Chael. Like
I read your article, man. Wasn't the happiest with it. I'm gonna be honest.
But it was. But I mean, I wasn't like I wasn't hating on it. It just like I think it just kind of I think it fell a little bit flat only because the call out of Fedor was like man, he just got worked and like obviously he thought of this before, like you
yeah,
know, like
of course,
clearly,
of course,
like man, he should have had a backup plan because calling out Fedor, I don't think was the right move. The move though, dude. I think the best part was he's getting interviewed in the back and he's talking to Ariel about fighting Rory.
Yeah,
and
well, he's mentioned that before too.
Yeah, he has, but like the way he mentioned it was almost in passing, man. And it's like, bro, make that call out in the ring. That's pretty. That's pretty ballsy. I mean, I mean,
do you see who he's calling out now?
Yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that's a good one.
I like that call out the best.
Well, I don't know. Did you watch the post fight interviews, like the media scrum or whatever? After
some
the
of
fights?
Them, yeah.
Well, we watched the whole thing back in the hotel, and Chell, you know, he kind of explained it. I mean, I don't know how true it is, but he's like, yeah, that was kind of my way of bringing Fedor back up in a sense, you know, kind of like, hey, yeah, he's sense. Down, but like, it's gonna,
you know.
Also, I think the reason why he called out Fedor too is because I don't know if I talked about this last time, but when we're in San Jose, you know, Scott Coker denies it or whatever, but. They called Chell to fight Fedor the next day. Back when Metro Young
was
the thing.
I heard that.
I was there. We fucking drove down to the hotel. It was like, it was out of the movies, man. The fanciest hotel. They're playing like fucking, they have a band in
there. I heard you guys
lobby.
Got down there fast because of the ghost of Earnhardt, Ryan Walker. That's what I heard.
Yeah, no, he wasn't driving, but he was there. So like we get in. And so we're all just sitting back. We're like, oh, fuck, man, this is crazy. You know, he's having his meeting. It was like an hour long. Him and back there with Scott Coker. And, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And he's like, so am I fighting? Am I not fighting? What's the deal here? And basically, he treated it as if he was fighting. They told him to treat it as if he was fighting. So he went back to his room. He slept in like he does his normal routine. And then, you know, last minute, that's when they find out the fight's off. Because Fedor didn't want to take the fight. That's just the facts.
Can't blame him.
But they tried to hide that, you know. Scott Coker's like, no, that wasn't a thing, and da-da-da-da-da. Chell was the guy that answered it. He was there, and he was all for it 100%. Yeah. They even asked for more money.
Yeah.
So I think that a little bit, you know.
Fueled the fire for him.
A little bit, yeah.
I think that's awesome, man. I mean, it makes it have a little more backstory, but I think people didn't necessarily remember that. I mean, I forgot about it, and I've talked about that with you.
No. I don't. Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that. Yeah,
but like it's just unfortunate that card was so weird, and then it has he has this call out of the dude who just had a weird fight and a weird, you know, another weird sad loss. You know,
yeah,
which was kind of a bummer. And like, you know, I think the other thing that hurt the call out is like I don't think that Chael and Vanderlei should have necessarily been the main event, and not because it's not a big fight, but open the card with that fight, you know, like have that be the first fight on the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I think that really sets a tone, right? Like that sets a tone right out of the gate, and have, you know, and have the Chandler Primus fight be the main event. You know what I mean? Or, you know, like,
I see what you're saying, but it's hard. I think from that point, it's hard to sell a fight where if the headline, you know, isn't this rivalry. Isn't.
I mean, and Chandler hasn't. I mean, you know, Michael
Chandler's
Chandler
not gonna sell
is not
review.
As big a name, and Brent obviously was an unknown commodity to a lot of people going in, and like, you know, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting, like an interesting fight, or like, I don't know, man. Make the other title fight, the Lawrence Larkin and Douglas Lima fight.
Again,
I
though, mean, it's one of those things you can't.
Yeah, it's hard.
I get what
hard,
you're saying. Like, I 100% understand it, but you got to look at it as who's going to draw the attention. What is it that's going to get the most buzz?
But it's about how you sell the pay per view in the lead up, right? So if you sell the pay per view, you know, you sell it like Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva, and you sell it, Fedor's on this card, and then you sell, and we have this title fight, and we have this title fight. It doesn't really matter where they're placed in the pay-per-view, because you sell the pay-per-view
but
before the show starts. Do you know what I mean?
But see,
who bought the pay-per-view with one fight left? Nobody. You know
what
I mean?
Mean?
Like, nobody was like in the middle, like, there's like, Chael hasn't fought yet. Nobody was like, oh shit, Chael's about to fight Vanderlei.
No, here's the thing is where I'm going to get is, so let's say they do that, right? They line it up that way. So everyone's thinking, oh, obviously they're going to be the main event if that's the way, you know.
Yeah.
They're kind of, and then
really
they fight.
Mislead people. Yeah.
And then they fight, and then boom.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because, you know, true. You got to.
I guess it's a really, it's a delicate
it's
thing.
A weird situation. Like, I 100%, I get it from a marketing standpoint too.
Yeah, no, I get it from a marketing standpoint.
But
I
think
it's just like, I guess me as like a crazy fight fan, like I was really excited for the Primus and Chandler fight. But like part of that is like, you know, I know Brent a little bit and like Chandler's always in a good fight. So like for me as an MMA guy, I'm like, ooh, it's
you're thinking that's
fight.
Gonna be the fight of the night.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. But I also think what they were hoping was they have that fight early, right? Boom, fight of the night.
Sets the pace.
Fight of the night. Sets the pace. Also, at the same time, since you're drawing in all these other people with their eyes on, waiting for, you know, fatal or whatever, that's how you start making their names, right?
Yeah.
Start with a little bit of that buildup. But unfortunately, what happened was not that. Wasn't the fight of the night.
No.
And the fight was freaky.
Yeah, it was freaky. But you know what?
Which is very interesting as well, too.
Yeah, it's
weird.
I
don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. But, you know, I wish Michael Chandler would give Brent a little bit of credit on the kick, and then I wish Brent would tone it down a little bit.
Man,
I feel like there's a give and take on both ends.
Yeah,
you know what
so
I mean?
This is the weird part for me, okay? Because me and Brent are teammates.
Yeah,
right. And you know, so I'm there, and you know, I have to be supportive of my teammate.
Yeah,
okay?
Totally, man.
But I'm watching this fight, and I see what happens, and you know. To me, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here. I don't think it was as much of the kick as everyone's given credit
to.
No.
I mean, I don't necessarily think like that was the beginning and the end.
No.
But like it certainly played a factor. And like and then the follow-up kicks really played a factor. And then the big problem I had was
the celebration.
Not the celebration. The big problem I had was he has Chandler against the cage and he's about to unload and Chandler can't stand on that foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ref like comes in and calls this weird timeout. And
yeah,
there are not timeouts for hurt legs in MMA fights. That's not a rule.
No, it's done.
So let that fight play out a little bit. Like I read this recap from Dave Doyle, and like I generally respect that guy, but he literally said Chandler had the fight in control up to the point where the ref stopped the fight. Dude, Chandler landed like one clean punch and dropped him, but he got right back up. Like you've been dropped and gotten back up, right?
No.
Never been
dropped.
No. Well, there you go.
But
but do you know what I'm saying? Like that's one punch, and you're gonna tell me that he had the fight in full control? Like that.
No. I don't think he had it full in control.
Shit out of me. And so my problem is like I think people are not going to be able to see how that fight it really plays out, right? Like obviously we know that that's not the storyline of that whole fight. Like, there's a fight we need to see there. There has to be a rematch.
Yeah,
right?
There's one. Yeah,
absolutely has.
They're gonna redo that real soon, I think.
But like, can either side just kind of say like I think that Brent tried like out of the gate to be like, hey, you know, like he's a war. Like, you know, after like the interview and stuff, like he calmed down a little bit. Like, you know, I know he was like real hyped on winning, and then he toned it down a little bit and was like, yeah, you know, we're gonna do it again. You know, he admits there's gonna be a rematch, and then he wakes up, you know, the next day to see Michael Chandler, you know, denying him, and that's how he feels, right? Because if you're in that fight and you land a kick that, you know, that you feel made a difference, like how upset would you be? I mean, I would be pissed off. So I get where he's coming from, but like on both sides, I think the truth lies in the middle somewhere, right?
Sure. I mean, here's my take on it. Like I said, again, it's a weird situation for me being his teammate, right? So I have to be, I'm supposed to be supportive and whatever. But I'm Jake motherfucking Smith today. So I don't think that it was the kick at all that did that. What I saw, and I remember it because I recorded it and I was sending it out to Ricky, is Brent throws a high kick. As he throws that high kick, Chandler takes a step back. As he's taking a step back, that's when he rolls his ankle.
Yeah, but
then before that, people were saying, oh, but it numbed it and this and that. No. And then, but here's what irks me about it, okay? Is, okay, let's say his fucking kick is this magical kick and it fucking did something to his tendons and made his leg just... start flopping around. Regardless of that, I don't know if I would be pumped about that win. You know what I mean? If a guy's rolling around on his ankle, I have won fights via decision, right? Were fights where I fought not to lose. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't fight to win. I fought not to lose.
Yeah.
And after I won that decision, I fucking cried because I was like, that is bullshit. That was a bullshit fight.
Yeah.
And the way that he celebrated, he didn't win any fans. And everyone in New York was booing him because of the way he celebrated. It was the way that he's like, oh my God, ah. And then this is another thing that irked me too. Because if you watch that post-fight interview, he starts talking about his sparring partners. He's like, yeah, I was kicking all my sparring partners' ass. I was doing this kick all throughout camp. I was doing this and that and that. I don't recall that. I don't recall him doing that to me. I don't recall him throwing those kicks. So, I mean, yeah, maybe he did in California or something. But to you know, there, I just don't think he's good on the mic, for one. So I think he's just a little clunky with his words. But that irked me. So that's already an issue. That's why that's the only reason why I'm speaking out right now. Yeah. Where I don't think that kick or whatever the kicks, for him to start attacking his leg right after he rolled his ankle and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think they need to do it again.
No, I think
Brent can beat him. I think he can.
I agree. I
think he can Smith Chandler, and I would like to see him win definitively so there is no question.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And Brent's one of the nicest dudes around. Like when I very first reached out to him, he was really like really cool with me, at least. Like, you know, reached out right away, gave me his phone number. Cool guy, real friendly. Like, you know, generally when you see him, he has a smile on his face, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nice guy. I think what happened to me, like when I watch it, I see a guy with 7 professional fights.
Yeah.
Like, who's never really been promoted very hard.
Yeah.
Go from like getting a little bit of promotion for one fight in Bellator, because his last fight, you know, they gave him a little Jimmy Smith vignette leading up to his fight, to fighting, you know, fighting in Madison Square Garden for the title.
Yeah.
And it's like, he walked out there, and I think didn't we text about it? And I said, he looks nervous
as fuck. Because he stood there
nervous.
At one point, the ref is like, when they bring him in the middle to talk, he fucking stood as if the ref was going to announce the winner. Like, he goes completely sideways. I was like, oh no.
And so I was like, man, like, one, it's like, it's nerves. Two, it's like you're in this like weird moment. You don't know what's happening. They're calling a timeout. Yeah. Dude, like, you're like blasting this dude in the leg. You have him against the cage. You feel like you're going to win the fight. Like, like all of these emotions. And then like, and then you're panicked. Like, what's going to happen? Are they going to make a no contest? Like all the things that were going through his head, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And so then it gets announced and he's like, oh, thank God. You know, like the weight of the world is lifted off of his shoulders.
Yeah.
So
I think he took it a little far.
Maybe, yeah. But I can't say that I mean,
I understand. Like, I'm jazzed for him in the sense that he's made more money than he's ever had before. That's awesome.
Totally, man.
And he's the world champion.
Yeah. You know? And you know, totally. And, you know, I mean, I still want to see the second fight. My hope is that it's not a Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva thing where like the first fight people say is a fluke and then the second fight people say is a fluke. Yeah. Like, I don't imagine that will happen. And I still think size wise, like, Brent's going to be able to push him around a little bit. And, you know, he can potentially get him on the ground, up against the cage, get him on the ground. If he gets him on the ground,
his ground game is sick.
It's over, you know. But, you know, I used to think that about BJ Penn, and then last weekend he got somebody on the ground and he fucking laid on top of him and didn't do anything, and it was weird.
Yeah, BJ's old as shit, though.
He's not that old.
He shouldn't be fighting at 45. I think that's
depleting his body. He shouldn't be fighting, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like he doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah. I haven't even watched the fight.
Don't even watch it. Don't even watch it. It'll just make you sad.
Yeah.
Like,
he's one of my favorite fighters.
He is my favorite fighter of all time. I love BJ Penn. I love BJ Penn.
Yeah.
I'm on record as saying he's my favorite fighter ever. I love him.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help it, you know? Like, it just always has been. And I you know, like, I want to not have a favorite fighter so I don't have to be emotionally attached.
Dude, I'm starting to get to that point because, like, mine was Forrest. But, like, I have this, like, you know, Nick Diaz is one of my favorites, Robbie Lawler.
Man.
It's hard, man.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
I've gotten to a point where I can genuinely, like, like say that it like most in most cases I can pull myself away from it, but now like there are still a handful of fighters that I'm just like I have something like
yeah
I can't
I'm waiting
help
for
it.
These guys to retire
yeah exactly I want them to go away so I can just like let just fights be fights fight, yeah exactly but
it's
like,
so hard though
but BJ man I you know what I really want him to do I want him to stop fighting and start competing in jiu-jitsu tournaments BJ yeah. come up to Portland
like EBI.
Get
or
in,
no, not EBI.
Submission Underground, bro.
Submission Underground,
get in,
that's right.
Get on Submission Underground. You must have Chael's phone number. If you don't, hit up Jake. Jake will give you Chael's phone number. You're BJ Penn. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, dude, I beat up Hawaiian sometimes, but I won't beat you up, so it's okay.
No way. It's BJ Penn. Come up here. Do some submission grappling. Get out here, you know, then go to EBI after
you
do
submission
underground.
You used to train at Team Quest.
Right?
So, I mean, you know the Pacific Northwest, just, you know.
Yeah, bro, you're more Mahalo. Than welcome. Come out. I'll buy you lunch. Lunch on me, BJ, if you come out. I got you, bro.
I'll take you to the best Hawaiian place ever.
So, well, not ever.
Ever, dude.
He lives in Hilo, bro.
Nah, they don't know what they're talking about there. They don't know shit there, man.
There's a Chamorro food cart if any of you Guamanians
really?
Want to know. Yeah.
I want
to
know.
I'll hook you up when we get all off. Right. The girl sits next to me is from Saipan, and her, which is right, you know, above Guam.
Yeah.
She just, her and her sister and like a bunch of people just went and she's showing me all these pictures. All like,
right.
Like my brother Joey's Guamanian. He's going to love it when he gets up here. I'm going to take him to this food truck. Nice. This is going to be dynamite. But anyway, I think we covered everything.
How long was that? It was like 2 hours or something.
No, like an hour and 20 or 15 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that.
That was way longer than that.
That's cool. If you like listening to Jake and I talk shit, let us know. We'll make more of these. So anyway, I guess my favorite fight for this week, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. Let's see what happens.
I mean, I sure hope so, man.
I mean, we got a long wait ahead of us, so we got the whole summer. So, hopefully we don't have to do another one talking about it before then. And then we can do like a 10-minute recap. We could do 1-minute rounds for 12 rounds and talk about how Floyd masterfully broke
dances.
Down Conor McGregor. Or like there's going to be pandemonium if Conor McGregor wins. Goddamn, can you even imagine if he wins? It's crazy.
If he wins, I'm ripping my dick off and throwing it in the river.
Right. I don't know, man. I don't know. If he wins, you know, like it will be awesome for him. I mean, I'm happy for anybody who can, you know, who can make the money and get out and, you know,
exactly.
be happy and healthy. Like, good for you.
Yeah, but, man, it doesn't help to hate on someone for making money. So
no, man, not at all.
Like, that's what I'm struggling with. Is
my question is, what does he do with that money? If you have $100 million. Do something good with your money too, Connor. If you make a bunch of money, help some people out. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, hookers and cocaine.
Yeah, hookers and cocaine.
I think
I hear
shit.
I you know what? I
snow I, day.
I'm not saying I heard anything from anybody. I'm just saying Conor McGregor can be seen at the club sometimes.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
Like he certainly likes partying.
Hey, before we get it, can I drop a quick plug?
Yeah, of course.
My last fight is going to be aired on MAV TV July 24th. So check that out. It was a war. You talked about it your last podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I gave everything I got in that fight. So I haven't watched it yet. I want to watch it.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't watched it either.
Fuck, dude. But
so if you have
DirecTV,
MAV
TV. Yeah, I just want people to watch it. I just want to get my name out a little bit more. I want people to know I am a real fighter. Also, I'll be fighting September 30th against Brian Nuro. So
that's a huge fight. If you guys don't know, that's a big fight. Brian Nuro and Jake are two of the hottest up and coming pros in our region. You know, they're two guys who are talked about favorably by most people. Jake can rub some people the wrong way because he likes to talk a lot of smack, but
straight up.
But
like,
but a couple of tough dudes. And when I heard that fight was announced, I was kind of surprised, but also super excited because I think it's going to be an awesome fight. I'm going to be there. It's on my birthday.
Oh, going. Shit. Well, I'm going to knock this guy out on your birthday. yeah. I've been trying to get this fight since my first pro fight. So,
well, here we are. And it'll be a cool one to see.
I got him now, motherfuckers.
It'll be a cool one to see. But, prime fighting, guys. And the I don't know when the tickets go on sale, but...
If I win, he better shave that fucking mustache.
You should let him know right now. I don't know.
You know what? We should... Get me and him in a room together. Let's mic it up. Let's sell this fucking thing. His fucking Christian Bell lip ass motherfucker. I'm jazzed for this fight. I have no idea how long I want in this fight.
What are you going to shave if he shaves his mustache? Are you going to shave your head?
I have my beard.
You shave your beard off all the time, bro.
There's nothing to shave. I shave my pubes for him. He can have that.
He can have my pubes, bro. Spring that
on him.
I get.
No, I respect Brian as a competitor and stuff.
We've talked about him off mic, and I think you come to a consensus that nobody says they have an easy fight against Brian Duran.
No, nobody. He's a tough dude, all around, good everywhere.
And I will say, if any of you have watched the Submission Undergrounds, the last couple of them, Brian's had two really killer matches. That he's really been able to highlight his skills. He's had real dominant performances. And if Pat Healy's listening, Pat, please come and wrestle with him because you were supposed to at the last one. I really wanted to see that, man.
That's my buddy.
I love Pat Healy. He's one of the nicest dudes ever, man. He's one of the first guys to let me interview him.
Yeah, he's cool.
Back
shit.
In the day, he's for a dude who's good at beating people up. He has a gentle handshake.
Yeah, he's super nice guy.
Super nice guy. Out there fighting fires, doing.
He has a fight coming up soon too. So let's
see what happens. But anyway, that's gonna wrap it up this week. Thanks so much for listening. I say it every time. There's a lot of great fights out there. I know it's really hard to narrow it down, but think about it. What's your favorite fight?